everyone. Welcome to Enchanted Chatter, a brand new podcast dedicated to all things Disney. I'm your host, Lizzie. I'm on a couple other podcasts on our network, Random Chatter, but I have decided to start my own podcast all about Disney because I love Disney, and I thought, I bet there are a lot of other people out there who would want to discuss their love of Disney with me. And so I've been scouring for a bunch of guests. And my first guest I'm very excited to bring you is my friend Melissa. Hi, Melissa. How are you?
Hi. Good. Good morning. Doing great.
It is the morning. It is 7:30 in the morning. We are dedicated to Disney. So Melissa and I met online. We actually met through Instagram, right?
Yes, yeah. We sure did.
Probably like a year ago, maybe?
That sounds about right.
Yeah, which is the beauty of social media in my eyes, is bringing people together who might never meet but definitely belong together as friends, I think. Melissa, so tell us a little bit about yourself and what you are up to.
Yeah, first of all, I am doing this early podcast from a Disney resort bed. I'm at Art of Animation. And I just think that that's the coolest thing, that I'm on a Disney podcast in a Disney hotel.
I mean, it's so on brand. It's just like exactly on brand.
But yes, I am a Disney blogger and freelance writer for travel related things. And you can find me at mainstreet.melissa on social media. And then the website is mainstreetpartyof4.com. I've always loved Disney. And this year I followed my passion and left the other side of blogging, which I previously talked about parties and recipes, and I decided it was time to give all my focus to all things Disney.
Nice. Well, no one can blame you for that. So your Main Street Party of Four is a reference to your family, and you have two kids, right?
Yes, I do. Two Disney-loving boys. Lincoln is almost four, and Sebastian turns two in 2 months.
Nice. Now, my first question is, now, as a mom and who loves Disney, what were you most excited to share with them in the Disney universe?
There was a lot of things, but when I walk down Main Street, the feeling, the magic, all of that, I couldn't wait to see their expression when they got to go down Main Street, the magic, the smell, the balloons, all of it. And so to be able to watch their reaction on Main Street's probably the number one thing for me.
Now, what has been like their favorite thing that maybe you were surprised that they loved so much that you were like, oh, we'll skip that, or it's not my favorite, but then now they've come to love it, or something like along those lines?
I would say Lincoln is obsessed with Pirates of the Caribbean, the ride, all things Pirates. And I wouldn't say I didn't like it, but now it's a must every single time we go, and he gets excited every single time we go. So that was a little, because he's little, so to like Pirates that much is actually pretty exciting.
Yeah, that's pretty adorable. And it's really cool to see something you love through kids' eyes or someone else's eyes in general. I take my nieces and nephews, and seeing something I love through their eyes really refreshes it for me. Is there been any part where you have just seen something like the Pirates? Is there anything else that you've sort of seen through new eyes by going with them?
Yeah, when they connect with the character that might be on the ride, and like they hit that, I know her. Oh my gosh, that's Elsa and Anna. And then we're on the ride, and they look like, is this really happening? Because we just watched her at home. Oh my gosh, there she is. So I think that might be my favorite, when they put the connection together and their little eyes get big and their mouth drops. That's the best.
I love that. So now, did you ever have a disappointment where you were like really excited to share something Disney with them and they just were like, wah, wah, don't care?
I wouldn't say that they didn't care at all, but I was very excited to bring them to Toy Story Land, and I might have been at a level 10 and they were not. So I just expected it to be this like glorious moment. I was like, get the camera ready. We're walking into Toy Story Land, and they were just like, oh, cool. What's next?
Now, you do have a story about Lincoln on Slinky Dog and a video that you said a select few got to see. But I was one of those people, and it was pretty funny.
So yes. Oh, yes. So Slinky Dog was his very first roller coaster, and I thought there was pure joy, and it was a little bit of scaredness. And then when we got off the ride, I said, do you want to do this again? And he said, no. So we will try it again when he gets a little bit older, a little bit bigger. But it was his first, so it wasn't horrible, but it was not great either.
Now, did you go to the parks growing up when you were a kid?
I did. And I think I had told you before that I don't come from a big Disney-loving family. It's really just me. So we did. We went a handful of times, but I really didn't dive into Disney or appreciate it until I became an adult, and then I went quite often. I think maybe by the time I was 18, 19, I didn't miss Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party. I went every single year. Nice. And then when I had kids, seeing Disney through my kids' eyes took it to another level.
That's awesome. So you didn't ever have any, like, childhood trauma experiences of going on roller coasters your parents wanted you to be on or anything?
No.
That's okay. I had one with Snow White's Scary Adventure, which I still have in California, but they don't have in MK anymore. But my parents were excited to take me on the Snow White ride, and it was all the it was just the witch the whole time, and I screamed bloody murder. And luckily, I don't remember that. They had to tell me that, so it doesn't – sometimes it doesn't translate. So he'll be able to go on roller coasters again.
Yes. Yeah.
That's good. So sort of other than as an adult, was there any other Disney entry point that you sort of started to fall in love with the world of Disney, maybe not just the parks but the movies as well?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I would say even more so – like the past couple years, the movies. I mean, I've always appreciated some of the classics. I watched Bambi quite a bit growing up, and Sleeping Beauty and Cinderella. But I would say, like, the newer stuff, or even the Pixar crossover stuff, like, it's phenomenal. And I feel like a connection with so many of them. And I feel like me and my children, so, like, a variety of ages, can relate to these movies and these characters. So yeah, I might get just as passionate about the movies as I do the actual theme parks.
Nice. So a little backstory. We recorded a podcast yesterday that is going to be now called The Lost Chronicles, because it did not work out that it did not record both of us. So one of the questions I asked in that one was a great one, and I was trying to remember everything I asked when the lost Chronicles. So Disney has had a bit of a checkered past as far as diversity or representation is concerned, and I mean, I think we've seen a lot of great strides, but I'm thinking of, like, our childhood separately. Obviously we didn't grow up together, but I mean, we're around the same age, but it was, you know, there's a lot of white princesses. There's not as many diverse ones, although they've started to go and try to be more representative. But do you feel like there is more that they can – I mean, I think there's always more that they can do. But where would you like to see some more representation? Is there an area where you feel like they're really not hitting it? Or do you – you know, sort of, let's talk about that a little bit in the Disney world.
That's a really, really good question. And we didn't do this on our run yesterday.
We didn't.
Well, we did a little bit of it. Okay. But that's a good question. I do, okay, so on the side of the things that I do like and I'm noticing would be the diversity that you were touching in on, because now we have Coco and Moana and all of that. So I do like that. And you know, I might have to stew on my answer, because I can't think of anything right now. What about you?
I really think as far as just I think with Marvel really touching on Wakanda and Black Panther in the Marvel universe, which is obviously Disney umbrella, but I think that was so accurately represented the culture that I want to see that kind of deep dive into other cultures. And I think, you know, obviously Pocahontas wasn't handled very well, even though I really still love that movie because it was Disney Renaissance age. I still feel like as far as looking back, it's still the song Savages seems unnecessary to tell the story. I think that those kinds of things. I want to see the culture represented accurately and with care. And I think Moana really represents like the Polynesian Islanders thing well, but she doesn't spend a lot of time with her culture, you know? So it's really her journey, which is okay. But I just, looking at Black Panther and the way that they treated it and the way that they, you know, had accuracy of accents and accuracy of clothing to really represent Africa as a whole, I felt like I had my eyes open to a culture that I have never been in contact with, you know? And I would love to see kids be able to have that through the movies. And I think having our upbringing have so many, like, I love Belle, but even Belle doesn't fully represent the French culture because she doesn't even have a French accent. So if you're talking about trying to bring those cultures over and let kids, I think that's an entry point for all kids to sort of broaden their horizons is Disney movies and movies in general and literature and music. Those are the ways that kids can be like, oh, I never knew that was out there. And, you know, so that's sort of, I would love to see more of that. I think they're heading in that direction. I do. But I guess I think as an aunt with, you know, kids that I want to know the world and maybe you can feel this way with as a mom, I want them to know the world that they're not going to be able to see till they're older, but already have their horizons broadened. And if Disney can be a part of that, it's something that I love. You know, obviously that would be, I would love that, you know? So that's sort of where when I'm thinking about diversity, I think about that.
Yeah. And I love that. I agree with that. And something else that I thought of that doesn't necessarily go right along that line, but that I've picked up on and have a little bit of passion towards is not every movie has to be a love story. There doesn't have to be a guy or someone chasing somebody, just like discovering yourself. I think that's why I feel that connection with Merida, as I talked with you about from Brave. For so long, it was all just the princess and the princess and the prince and the princess, I'm sorry. But I do recognize that they don't have to do that any longer, and Disney's picking up on that. And then, in true Disney fashion, the parents die all the time. Like, all the time.
All the time.
So I'm like, let's chill with that for just a little bit.
They do. Well, and that was one of my other questions as far as, like, raising boys and Disney having sort of that fairy tale happy ending with a wedding or with the couple getting together being the standard. Now, they are trying to change it, but it is still the standard when you look at, like, the canon of those classic Disney movies. It's just a lot of ending up together. And so that's one of the points I wanted to bring up and say, like, is there movies that you are not really wanting to show the boys because of that? You know, that maybe you'll save till later because you want to be able to explain a little about that when they're, you know, at the appropriate age, or, you know, maybe kids don't really remember, but is there something, are you conscious of that? Or are you trying to like think, you know?
Yeah, I do think that I am pretty cautious of it. I find myself with a lot of movies, because I think that they're all, like, I'm doing air quotes, safe for the kids to watch. But I do find myself saying, you know, if you want to do that, that's okay. If you don't want to do that, that's okay. Like, when all those emotions come through, like, there's multiple scenes of someone feeling like they can't be themselves, I get really passionate, and then I take some time and explain to my kids, but, you know, you don't have to be like that person that we just watched in that Disney movie. And I just want them to know that this is enjoyable and fun to watch, but they don't have to be what they're seeing either.
Nice. Is there a conversation that's been sparked by a Disney movie with probably Lincoln, that you were surprised by, that you were like, oh, I didn't know you'd see that, you know, or think of that?
Yes, I would. One that comes to mind would be Tangled with Flynn Rider. Mm-hmm. He was confused. Is Flynn Rider bad or is he good? Ooh. And so then he would say, I want to be bad like him. And then he was like, oh, he's kind of nice. So there was actually a little bit of confusion with that. And I was surprised I would have to answer that already. He's 3.5. So I just thought it was like fun. And Flynn Rider's running around and he has the crown and this and that, but he actually puts it together like, wait, is he a bad guy? Should he? Because he actually said the word jail. Lincoln did. So I was like, okay, all righty. Which wasn't a bad talk, but that did surprise me.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, he is, like, stealing in the beginning, rolling with the ruffians, and, like, it is confusing, I think, because villains have become less black and white, you know, less, you know, one-dimensional, and they have a lot more, I think of Loki in that way, where he's not, like, this unlikable bad guy, where you're like, he definitely deserves prison or the death penalty or anything like that. Like, he has all of our heartstrings. We don't want to lose him, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's sort of confusing for a kid to think, like, good is good and bad is bad, and where does he fall on the spectrum of that? So that's kind of interesting. But now Lincoln is a huge villains fan, so I can imagine him being very confused by that.
He's a very big villains fan, so yeah.
So tell us how that sort of came about, because as we sort of discussed before, is like, that's not, like, your particular passion in the Disney world isn't, like, you weren't, like, Lincoln, look at all the villains. Like, I think he's shown you that, right? A little.
Yeah. Oh, he taught me big time. It was not my area at all. And one day he saw The Nightmare Before Christmas, like a little, I don't know where it was, but he saw it and he was like, I want to see that. And I was like, ooh, okay. And I had, like, at 33, I had never seen it. So I was like, okay, it took, and then he fell in love, and it probably took me 5 or 6 times to like it. So I had to watch it. But then from there, he's just always shown an interest in the villains, which at first I didn't know how to take it. And now I love it. Like, he talks about Scar. I told you he wants to be Thanos for Halloween.
I love that.
any of it, he cannot get enough of the bad guys. The voodoo guy from Princess and the Frog, he'll say, turn that part on, let me do it, and he wants to reenact, like, specific parts from it. He just feels the connection with the villains, and he's actually opened my mind up, because I was not a villain person at all. Like, pirates was as far as I went, like, and so it's nice that this toddler, like, you know, helped me see things in a different way that way, too.
And it's really cool for him to, like, carve his own path in the Disney world that you love so much, to find his own niche and to say, like, this is what I'm going to be passionate about and this is what I'm going to search out. And it makes sense why he liked the Pirates ride so much then.
Yeah.
Now, do you see – and now I know Sebastian's little, but, like, do you see him picking up on a niche already? Do you feel like he's going to – what do you think he's going to like growing up?
He is my my sweet lovey-dovey boy. So I would not picture him as the villains like his brother. he likes Olaf, Elsa, Anna, Rapunzel. He gets Moana. So he's much more of my sweet boy.
Oh, that's sweet. That they'll have, like, their own different takes of the universe to sort of absorb and be excited about. Now, is there a Disney movie that you wanted to show them that they were not into, that they were like, Mom, why do we have to watch this?
Yes, I would say almost all of the classics, like Sleeping Beauty, Cinderella, Snow White, Bambi. Like, well, I mean, I was going to show them parts of Bambi.
Again, with the parents.
Yeah, yes, that's right. But any of those that I put in, I mean, I'm talking like my VHS level classes.
Yeah.
No, I don't know if it was just too slow. The animation's like totally different now. They had no interest in any of those. The only classic that they do like is Mary Poppins.
Oh, okay. Well, that's nice. You know what's funny is my nephew Anders just watched Mary Poppins, and he's obsessed with it, but he won't sit down for any of the animated classics. Mm-hmm. I wonder what it is about those that isn't translating at that age, because I know I watched them at a young age, at least like 3 and 4, you know? And so I wonder what it is. And it's funny to me that the live action would translate so seamlessly to them, you know?
Mm-hmm. I think that the classics, they're very slow. There's big breaks with no speaking. They're slow or much slower, so like 5-6 minute songs. And now we're in a world where even a 2-year-old's like, okay, no, What's next? Like, I need it a little bit quicker. And so I think it's most of that. Because when we were watching Sleeping Beauty, I think there was, like, several minutes of nothing but, like, humming. and they just were not, they were gone.
Just humming.
I was like, okay. But then see, like me as a kid, I was like twirling around and enjoying it. And I was like, oh, look at the birds and the forest and like all the things. And they get Moana and all the other exciting things where it's like this constant. There's not several minutes of humming.
Now that you say that, it sounds so funny. Like hum break in the script or something. Like just straight up humming, guys. Here's the concept. So lots of action, plenty of things going on, but then we're going to stop and we're just going to hum for like 8 minutes. Can you imagine? I feel like if they did that in a movie now, kids would be like, and we're leaving.
That's right.
That makes a lot of sense. It's funny because Sleeping Beauty was one of my favorites when I was a kid because I felt like Prince Philip was one of the only princes back then that was more fleshed out. That he got his own scenes and had his own story arc. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you think about the Charmings, they're useless.
Yeah. I love it. They're useless.
They're so useless. And I thought, Prince Philip is like interesting. He gets his own interaction with the villain and with the fairies, and like Sleeping Beauty's all up there being asleep and junk. And so I felt like he was really someone I could latch on to, whereas the other, you know, and as somebody who dreamt of, you know, all of the princes and all of that, I was like, now that's my kind of prince.
Yeah.
Now, okay, you not only go to the parks with the kids, but you love to go by yourself, an adult at Disney. Now, when did, you said that that started a little, like, when you were late teens, maybe?
Yes, I did. In my 18, 19-ish, I went to Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party with a group of girlfriends, and I had always liked Disney, but after that night, I was like, okay, I will come here forever and ever. It's something just sparked, and I love it. I like to go with a group of girlfriends or by myself. Sometimes an unplanned trip by myself where I don't even ride a ride is, I make some of the best memories at the theme park. So I do. I have an appreciation for it. Or I could just go to Epcot and have a margarita and not stress about anything.
Which you did last night, right?
I did. I had my blood orange margarita, and it's Food and Wine currently. So I did try one of the items there. So that's always fun. And then there's not that I couldn't do that with my children. I do like to separate some me time because I deserve that too.
You do. And so you mentioned that you are at one of the resorts. Tell us a little bit about like why you're there and like how the experience is going.
This is my first me time, mom all by herself, staycation. Nice. And it's 2 nights, 3 days at Art of Animation. I'm actually in one of the Little Mermaid rooms, and it's been really fun. I left the resort for the first time last night for 2-3 hours, and that was it. I'm like relaxing, eating all the Disney food, exploring, sat by the pool. So I would highly recommend, I mean, mom or not, giving yourself a couple of days at a Disney resort is just, everyone should do it.
I mean, I definitely am interested. And I think it sends an awesome message to anybody, but also to your boys, that to say that, like, you don't just go for them. You know, you're not just at Disney for them. You love to take them and share that with them, but there's a part of you that needs it too and loves it, and you're able to feed your soul with that regardless of whether they're around or not, which I think will teach them, you know, in the long run to sort of do that for themselves. Is that a consideration, or is that sort of like an accidental, like, well, that's lovely that that'll happen, but is that part of the consideration of doing those things for yourself too?
Yeah. And you and I had talked many a times about the things that I'm passionate about. And that is one thing. I want them to see, you know, mom, but then an independent person in ways, just because there's so many things that you can do in life that are outside of very specific roles, like wife, mom, all the things. You're still you. And so to allow yourself to be completely you, like for me, it would be this weekend. I think that sends such a positive message to them.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's so cool to be able to show them. And then also to translate that into your blog and to say, like, if you're struggling to find that balance, like, here are some tips and here are some ways that I'm able to do it, if you can latch on to that in any way. I love the platform to be able to share those things. So what are your what are your non-spoilery tips on taking kids to Disney?
I'll give a couple because I get excited when I talk about this topic. My number one is always not to stress it, like overthink it, overplan. Anything could happen. There could be a tiny meltdown. You could be late for a fast pass. Anything can happen. So just really soaking up the moment and not feeling the pressure. I see families running into Disney and they're like running around. They're like running. And I'm like, just for a moment, just soak up this wonderfulness. And if that means my kids have a cookie and they jump and run around Main Street for 30 minutes and we might miss a fast pass, that's what we were supposed to be doing at that moment. And I wish I could tell the other parents, like, just relax a little bit. I bet it would make a world of difference, you know?
Yeah. I do. I always want to say that when I'm at the parks too, but I'm like, well, that probably doesn't come off well, but I always want to be like, it's really okay that they don't want to ride Barnstormer. Like, just don't make them do it.
Yeah, I know. And I understand that I'm local and a pass holder and can go all the time. So I'm not just speaking from that, because there are people who save and cannot wait to bring their children here and are trying to cram everything that they can into one day. But at the end of the day, you should leave from a trip like this excited and not wore out or upset or drained. Like, not saying you can't be tired because you've walked miles and miles, but you should leave like in such a happy state that I feel like I often see people that are like, have this itinerary. Well, we got to do this and this and this, and then tomorrow's Animal Kingdom, and then we got to get on the plane, and I feel like that takes a little bit of the magic away.
Yeah, it makes it feel just so overpacked, and a kid can't really understand why they have to do all the things. Kids don't care. If you showed them one thing, they would be so excited to see that one thing. And they wouldn't even know anything else was missing. I think that's what a lot of parents forget, is that like your kid doesn't know. If they've never been there before, they don't know what they're missing. Mm-mm. And isn't a leisure day spent enjoying yourself worth more money than feeling like you all hate each other at the end of the day because you've just stressed out? I think that's hard to communicate to without sounding like, you know, like, oh, do it my way, you know? I try to, whenever I'm offering advice, I try to think about how I say that, because I'm like, oh, I don't know if that comes off weird.
No, I've, on several blog posts that I've written on tips in going to the theme park with toddlers, I'll catch myself like deleting sentences because I don't want to, I'm not trying to be bossy, and it could, right. it could come across that way. So you're right. It is really tough to give advice specifically on that. So I just try to like keep it at like, don't stress and enjoy the day.
Yes. Let it go. Just like Elsa, right? They say that that's on some right. of the rides. Well, they say that on the safari, when if you drop your stuff, just do like Elsa and let it go.
Yeah, I love that.
Okay.
Go ahead. The other, really quick, I wanted to mention this because I don't even know if I shared it with you.
Oh, okay.
But I think that people don't take advantage of the baby care center, so I wanted to say that. It's not just for babies, because there's like movies playing. So sometimes if the kids are really hot, I'll go in there and like Toy Story's playing. There's separate bathrooms, there's like little snacks, there's a table to sit down and eat at. So if you are here in Florida and it's 100 degrees outside and you've done everything you can do, there's still that option. You can go get a free cup of water and just take a few minutes and relax.
Now, that baby care center is particularly at Magic Kingdom, right?
Yeah, the one actually at Epcot is the same. They have redone that one.
Nice.
So it's like the one at Magic Kingdom. Those two are the larger, roomy, go there to relax spaces.
And Animal and Hollywood haven't updated theirs, but they still have they offer an yeah. area.
Yes, correct.
Okay. Cool. Those are great tips. I love that. And obviously, if you want more tips from Melissa, you can go to her blog, Main Street Party of Four, or to her social media accounts at mainstreet.melissa. Now, I have a couple rapid-fire questions for you. So,
all right.
Here we go. Get ready. Number one, favorite park?
Hollywood Studios.
Favorite ride?
Soaring.
Favorite movie?
Brave.
Favorite princess?
Merida.
Well, that makes sense. favorite prince?
I have to go with Eugene, Flynn Rider.
Nice. Favorite villain?
Scar.
Favorite song?
Ooh, one song. Oh, gosh.
I know, that's such a tough question.
yeah, that one is tough. I might have to go with, so you see me like stuttering. I feel a connection to Olaf, so I'm going to have to go with Summer.
Oh, that's a good one. I love
yeah.
that. Okay, favorite Disney sidekick?
Oh, gosh. I'm drawing a blank on his name. The chameleon.
Pascal.
Pascal, yes. I like Pascal.
From Is he a Tangled. Sidekick? Oh, he's a sidekick, totally.
Okay.
He like lives on her shoulder. He's 100% a sidekick.
yeah.
Favorite park snack?
So they make their own chips and they put seasoning on them. So I know that sounds silly, but they're homemade chips with the seasoning.
Now, where could somebody find those?
I actually have a plate of those in my room right now.
This is real time, you guys.
Yeah. So you can, at the resorts, you can just go ask for a plate of them. But then in Animal Kingdom, they have a stand where they actually have buffalo chicken chips, and those are the chips as well. And so if you're interested in that, those are amazing.
Nice. Favorite live action Disney movie?
Oh, goodness. I don't know. I don't know if I have one. Is that bad?
No, it's not bad at all.
Okay.
That's okay. That's an answer too.
Okay.
Now, out of all the stuff coming up on the slate for the Disney parks, what are you most looking forward to the additions?
Star Wars.
Oh, well, that's a good answer.
Yeah.
Now, do the boys like Star Wars as much as they like everything else? Are they growing up Star Wars too?
Oh my gosh, yes. Lincoln, like we had mentioned, is the villain's lover, so he's a dark side boy. Mm-hmm. So he has a connection with Kylo Ren.
Nice.
And actually one time when we met Kylo Ren at Hollywood Studios, he hugged him. And they were like, no touching, but he really likes him.
I think that's adorable. I didn't even know you could hug Kylo Ren. Apparently,
I don't think you're supposed to, but they kind of couldn't stop a 3-year-old from just going right on in.
I mean, especially when they're meeting any other character, that's like the protocol is like rush them and hug them, you know? And so to like hold back for Kylo, even with Chewie, who's right across the hall, you're allowed to like run in and hug him. So it's sort of funny to try to not have that happen with Kylo.
I guess
it's just because he's not huggable for most people.
Yeah, that's true.
You and I went and met Kylo together, and I had in the picture, I have this like scared face, and you're like, yeah, Kylo. Like,
yeah. Hey. I feel like we're besties. We've like met so many times. I have a video I'll have to show you one time of Lincoln crying for Kylo because the line took a little bit extra than we had planned waiting. And like he's crying, Kylo. I'll have to show you.
Oh, I'm going to have to see that. That sounds so precious. I just love that he has this connection with the villains that like I would never anticipate like teaching a kid to love the villains. Cause I love a lot of the villains. I love like an anti-hero I'm a big Vader Anakin fan, huge, because I love the concept of Vader himself just being like this uber bad guy. But then I love giving him layers and peeling back who he is as Anakin. So, and how, and what his journey is to get to the bad, but I would never like be like, how can I convey my love of villains to kids? You know, so
yeah,
you know, that's hard. But the fact that he's just latched onto that as his niche, just I love that so much. And Lincoln and I have only met once slash half twice. We saw each other when the airport. Picked up for the airport. But I feel like he and I would get along so well, and I just want to like Disney Park with him.
Yeah. Oh, you guys should.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so now out of the scope of Disney, which is obviously one of your passions, but do you have any other passions that, like, you know, you would love to be blogging about, but now that you're set, sort of finding your niche, you feel like you have to sort of set aside, or anything else that you want to talk about that's not Disney related?
Yeah, I do enjoy the movies quite a bit. I mean, you and I have that in common as well. And I have to limit it because I could get carried away when I get excited about a new movie. So I do hold back. I wouldn't say that I don't share at all. If it's a Disney film, I do share it. But I hold back a little bit on the movies. And then second would be Florida outings. We do a lot in Florida in general and try to travel all over the state and find little quirky spots. We really love our state. So I hold back a little bit on that as well.
Sure. I think what's nice about sort of switching from – because you used to be Melissa Creates and you've sort of when I met you, you were Melissa Creates, and you've sort of migrated away from that to be more Disney specific. But I think by changing it to Main Street Melissa, you're still able to blog about, make it about yourself, which I think is really empowering too, to say like, whatever I love is what Main Street Melissa is. And I may choose to really have a niche, but like if I talk about something else, it's still on brand for me because it's really about you. What was the like evolution of going from Melissa Creates to Main Street Melissa?
It might have been you. Somebody was like so sweetly complimented how I like did the overall. Because I didn't make a big fuss about it, but I went from parties and table displays and working very closely with a lot of brands, and that wasn't really who I was anymore. I was mom that couldn't get enough of Florida and Disney, and I wasn't hosting parties and creating one-of-a-kind recipes for people any longer because, in all reality, I wasn't home. I was out traveling. Yeah. So I felt like I wasn't being true to myself. And so I slowly added in some Disney, and then without making any special announcement, changed my name, my username, and just rolled right into sharing tips, which I've always done. I think that the point is to inspire and educate your audience. So while I was doing that with parties and food, I just slowly did the same with taking kids to Disney and enjoying, you know, special events at Disney. And I think the biggest thing was not making it this massive, like, hey, everybody, look at me, I'm changing to Disney. And just rolling into what was natural, everything fell into place on its own.
That is really inspiring to see. Like, I think people get stuck in one thing that they're talking about, and it's tough to imagine changing that about yourself. And sort of like rolling with it. And so the way you did it was really seamless. Like one day I looked at your account and I was like, whoa, like what happened? It was like so sneaky. I liked it. I was like, oh, I like that. You're like, we're just doing it. You like pulled the Band-Aid off.
Yeah.
Because I spent like up like a billion years just thinking about mine and trying to like, how do I roll it out, whatever. And yours is like so seamless. I was like, that's exactly perfect. What is coming up for you in your life? Things, new things that you're working on, things that you want to share that we should be looking for from you?
Yeah, I will be sharing even more tips on all things Disney. I share quite a bit with taking the kids so that you can have a less stressful experience. So I will continue with that because I'm always thinking of something new each time I take the kids to the park. I'm like, oh, you know what? I should share that because it made life a little easier today. So I will definitely continue that. And then a little bit later this year, I'm going to start doing my Hubgrass interviews with some of my favorite Disney people.
Yay!
And yeah, I'm excited. Can't wait to interview you. And I will be going live on social media to do that. So it won't necessarily be just a blog post. It's going to be a live interactive, like ask a couple questions and talk to the audience. So I'm very excited about that.
That's awesome. I love that. I'm excited to be a part of it, and I'm excited to see where that goes for you. Well, thank you so much for joining me today at this early hour.
Yes, thank you for having me. It's an honor.
Love chatting with you. We'll be chatting a lot together, I'm sure. And you can find, as I mentioned, you can find Melissa at mainstreet.melissa on Instagram and Twitter, as well as on her blog. You can find her at Main Street Party of Four. And definitely keep up to date with what is going on with her, because she's amazing. Well, that is our show, and if you want to find out what else Melissa is up to on Instagram and Twitter, you can find her at mainstreet.melissa, and I encourage you to go follow her, because she's got all kinds of great content. Whether you're a parent or not, she'll have something that you'll want to be seeing. And as far as the Random Chatter Network, you can send any feedback you might have right now before I have my own email address for this particular podcast. You can send any information to randomchatter@randomchatter.com. That is my parent network that I'm a part of. This podcast is a part of. And I'm also on a couple other podcasts over there. So you can find out any other shows that we have over there at randomchatter.com. And we have all kinds of awesome podcasts. I'm on 3 other podcasts over there. And a lot of my co-hosts are on a bunch of other ones as well. And so if you are looking for some new shows to find, I encourage you to go there. And I also encourage you to spread the word about those if you like them. If you don't, that's totally cool too. But if you want to leave any reviews or tell anyone about them, you can find them on iTunes, Stitcher, and on Google Play. And we would just love if you spread the news. This is a brand new podcast. This is our first episode. So the more word that this gets out, the more people will know about it, and that will be lovely. You can also find me online at TWT About Lizzie. That's on Twitter, as well as our network at Random Chatter on Twitter and on Instagram. And I am at The Wonderful Thing About Lizzie on Instagram. And again, Melissa can be found at mainstreet.melissa. And then we also have a Patreon account for the network. It's randomchatter.com/Patreon. We do actually have a couple fees that we use that money to pay for. So if you wanted to join for $1, you could get access to our Discord channel. We have a public lobby that is free, but then if you want to get into some of the other channels that we have things from topics from Marvel to DC to spoilers for upcoming movies to what kind of food everybody's eating. There's a channel for pretty much everything. So if you're interested in that, it's just $1 at Patreon. And again, that's at randomchatter.com/Patreon. Well, that is my first episode of Enchanted Chatter. I hope you guys enjoyed it. And until next time, have a magical day.